good singing all the way around, and so we'll take our Bible tonight. You'll be looking in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, and so if you find a place and you're able to look there, we'll stand, please, and we'll look there in those passages. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 12, we'll read verse number 13. Now, in verse number 13, and one of the company said unto him, talking about the Lord Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide his inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart. We want to say thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good reports. Lord, we pray you touch those that, no doubt, that are sick and certainly afflicted. We pray you'd restore their health. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight, a sermon entitled Daydreaming and Missing the Message of Jesus. Now here's a bunch of people that were gathered together, and boy, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was rearing back and letting it go and shelling it clean down to the calm. In fact is, in verse number 1 of the lesson there, you'll find that he begins, he said, there's a multitude of people insomuch they trode one upon the other. And he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's something, isn't it? Big crowd got together like that. He said, you better beware of the Pharisees. That's the name of religion. And he said, what it is, he said, their doctrine is hypocrisy. And it'll spread through you if you're not careful. In this lesson you're looking at, you'll find out, he said, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and neither hid that shall not be known. And therefore, whatsoever that ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I will tell you, he doesn't miss a word, does he? He knows what we're saying, when we're saying it, where we're saying it, why we're saying it, and to whom we say it about. Make no mistake about that. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, is that here this crowd had gathered together. I mean, quite a crowd. There's so many of them, they trod one upon the other. I mean, they've got very little standing room, obviously. And the Bible said that whenever in verse number 4, but I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body that afterwards have no more that they can do. In other words, he talks about life. He talks about death. Here he is preaching a sermon like that right there. I mean, he's preaching about heresy, false doctrine. He's preaching about life. He's preaching about death. He's preaching about no secrets with God. He's preaching about those that kill the body, but that's all they can do, and they can't go any farther than that. Yeah. Then look in verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that man can chase you all the way to the grave, and that's it. Jesus Christ can go beyond the grave, throw you into hell, and your soul be there forever. In the Bible lesson that we're talking about tonight, let me tell you, he goes and talks about the importance of man. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Then he talked about how you're valuable, said even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you're more valuable than sparrows. I say unto you that whosoever confess me before men, the Son of Man shall confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. And when they bring you into the synagogues, into the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of how or what thing that ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Let me tell you what a powerful sermon, what a vast subject that he's covered there. And this guy here has been sitting there and he obviously hadn't gotten hold of none of it. All he can think about is, I hope he'll let me talk soon. I got a question I want to ask the Lord. You ever sat in the house of God and you just scuttle-butted your way, your thoughts away, didn't hear nothing that was ever said? You thinking about yesterday, thinking about tomorrow, thinking about whatever else. And I will tell you, this is where that guy was, is that he was sitting there and missed a very vital, important sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not, I don't want to wake you up. Now, if you're needing to get a little nap, you've had a hard day, I know you need. I mean, we can't beat you up about that. We've all take our turn at that. You know, I sat around sometime, I've been so bored, out of my mind, and listening, I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about visiting at a church and this and that and all that. I'm thinking, man, I hope they finally say something. I'd like to be awake long enough to get it. And if not, I wish they'd shut up and put somebody else up that does. See? You've been there, done that. But notice, if you will, please, here's this guy. Obviously, he's a daydreamer. And let me tell you something, is that you'll find that he no doubt thinks he's doing God a service. I mean, at least he's there. He's there, but he's not there. You know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. You've been doing this thing as long as I have. You've seen that a whole lot in a congregation. You don't see it at the same time in every place with everybody. I mean, you know, everybody has a bad day. But let me just say to you that, if you will, is that here's a guy that was busy while Jesus is preaching about heaven and about hell and about right and about wrong, about life and about death and about, while he's preaching all of that, here's a man that's thinking, I wonder if he could tell my brother, make his my brother split some of that wealth he's got and some of that stuff with me. Oh, what did he say? What did he say? What did Jesus, has he already said that? No, let me ask him then. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, do you know that the Bible said, and this will be good for all of us, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But we're not. We're not. You know what's wrong in the day and hour that we're living in? Listen, do you know what's wrong with us? And I'm not talking about somebody outside. I'm talking about somebody on the inside, me included. You know what's happened to us? We get to where that God's blessed us with so much that we take God for granted and we're bored with whatever he's doing. That's why we're busy all the time. And let me say to you, every now and again, it's good to get away. Every now and again, it's good to be able to get out of this, the normal routine of life. But let me tell you something right now, is the Bible said, godliness with contentment is a great gain. Are you godly tonight? Well, no wonder you're not happy. Don't tell me that you're full of the Holy Ghost, and don't tell me that you're full of God, that you're godly, that you're right, and if you walk in and snub people and think about them and want to throw up when you see brothers and sisters in Christ, make no mistake about it, dear friend, you can't have revival in your soul with God and have a grudge with anybody. You just can't do it, see. Now, I know some people, if I could see them tonight, and they're not here, but if I could see them, I'd want to throw up. I'd shake their hand and say, hey, how you doing? Boy, it's good to see you again. I wish you was dead. Now, I know it's not any of you, but I've had some of you that thought that about me. I've never thought that about you one time. I've just said to you, buddy, in all the years I've been in the ministry, any preacher that hadn't had that dispense toward him is not preaching the word of the Lord. See? I can't tell you, you know, how humiliating it is for people to tell you, I'll tell you what, Brother Dennis, we love Miss Janice and those kids. And? See, you got to learn to let some of that slide off of you. And let me tell you right now is that whenever you look into this Bible, godliness with contentment. Boy, if you can just get as close to God and right with God as you know how to get, And I'm not talking about program. I'm not talking about buddy performing or putting on a show. I can tell you right now, I know some good preachers across the country, and I've heard some of them preach in four or five different churches and preach the same sermon, which is not unusual. What is unusual is when they cry at the same spot in the same message every time at a different place. That's program. I've seen singers that were that way. And let me tell you right now, is that I'm not talking about, I'm not against shouting, I'm not against amen, I'm not against, and let me just say to you though, is that when it's programmed, it don't have to have God nowhere around it. There's a difference. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, here's an old boy here that was listening to the Lord God of glory himself, and all he could think about is brother and what he needed to do in dividing his inheritance with him. Now, in this lesson here that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible teaches us over in the book about 1 Timothy chapter 6 and about verse number 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it's for certain we're not going to take anything out. We're not going to take anything out. And let me say to you that, if you will, that make no mistake about it, is that God was not in this man's thoughts, obviously. You know, the Bible said over the book of Psalm chapter 10, about verse number 4, that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? If you're a child of God, you're sitting here tonight, you think about what God wants in your life. You think about God on a regular basis. You think about God on a daily basis. There may be times you blow your cool and all this and that and have yourself a little old pity party fit, but I got to tell you, as soon as you get straightened up and straightened out, you're sorry that you acted that way against God. See? I was preaching at a place, and I said something about, I know I don't lie nearly as much as I used to before I got saved. I guess it insulted the preacher I was preaching for. He got up. He said, you know, I've been saved 35, 40 years, whatever it was. And he said, I've never lied one time since the day I got saved. I thought, here's a guy so stupid, he don't even know what a lie is. That's true. Be egotistical with me about that, you know, and proud and patting yourself on the back and this and that. You ever tell somebody in church there that they looked nice or sounded nice or that was great and it wasn't? Yeah. I mean, I don't believe you ought to be as, you know, I like it when people walk by and they're nice, amen, God bless you, and that was good, I enjoyed, I got help, so forth and all. I like all that. I mean, that's a whole lot better than that old woman that gave that guy that was preaching there, and he took the new church and every service, and she put a quarter in his hand, and as she walked out the door, and one day he said, man, that's so sweet. That little old gal, probably that little old lady don't have a lot of money, and start out and said, she gives me a quarter every Sunday. And the guy said, nah, I said, she's been here for years. She's trying to tell you that's about a two-bit sermon if she ever heard one. Now, if y'all start bringing me quarters, I'm going to put them in my pocket. I may need to change that story up to where it was a silver dollar or something. That's what it depends on. Here's a guy right here that he was there, but he wasn't. Do you see what I'm talking about? You ever talk with your wife or spouse? Let's just say spouse. It could be either side. And then in a few minutes, what did you say? Oh, yeah, that's just what I figured. You never listen to what I'm saying. Well, what'd you say? I got to tell you something right now is that you'll find this guy was there, but he wasn't. Jesus spoke, but he didn't hear it. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me move right along real quickly that if I can. You know, a lot of time, I cut up and go on and try to have a good time. And aren't you glad every now and again that I crack a joke or two, because it would just be too salty and too much bite. I know it is even on me if there wasn't ever something a little bit every now and again to kind of break the monotony. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible said, I want to tell you, if you think you're up against it, I'm up against it. In Proverbs 27, the Bible said about verse number 23, and you can listen to him, while you turn to Hebrews 13. The Bible said in verse number 23 of Proverbs chapter number 27, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herd. Did you know my responsibility and the charge that God has given me is to be able to look out for the congregation that he's called me to pastor over? Look in your Bible over there in the book of Hebrews. That's the reason why that I try to warn you. That's the reason why Jesus Christ warned about this doctrine of the Pharisees, so forth and on. And let me tell you, there's a lot out there that is corrupt as it can be, even coming out of Baptist ranks. Closer to the coming of the Lord, the more charismatic. And the movement is going to try to yoke everybody together. I know preachers now that long hair is not an issue anymore. And let me tell you, whenever you're using people, and by the way, if you come in, you've got long hair and you're a woman, great. If you come in, got long hair and you're a man, not so great. You're beginning to cross a line. Now, if you're just visiting, that's one thing. But whenever you're part of the main program and singing, that's quite another. In this lesson that we're looking at over there in the book of Hebrews, I'll give you a passage there in a moment. In Hebrews in chapter 13. Now, sometimes people get a little irritated. And they get irritated about various different things. And namely, is that if you're watching out for them and watching out for theirs and their family. I begin to look at, and here's a guy that he doesn't hear what Jesus said, but in Hebrews chapter 13, look in verse 7. The Bible said, remember them that have the rule over you. Now, that's talking about your pastor, talking about a church, who have spoken to you the word of God. All right, whoever the preacher is, he's got rule over you, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. He said, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. All right, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, then submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Now here's what he's talking about in the lesson there. The Bible and the Holy Spirit of God leads and guides and directs us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. And then God gives us a pastor. I'll give you Pastor Jeremiah said according to my heart, that'll feed you with knowledge and with understanding. And then the Bible said that he's to be on the lookout and to watch out. If you go to getting a little off, or you go to being led astray, or there's a seductive spirit goes to getting a hold of you. You know, I've had people say, it ain't none of your business, then get out of our church. If you don't want me watching over you as God demanded and God commanded me, and you don't want me to watching after you and your children and helping you to be able to have an extra set of eyes and ears to be able to speak and listen and see what's going on, if you don't want that, you're in the wrong church. See? You know the reason why the average Baptist church is going to hell in a handbasket? They all of them just live unto themselves, die unto themselves, without hope and without God. That's the reason why that every time, you know, listen, if I turn loose somebody here in the church, Brother Darrell, when he's preaching, I've never one time ever tried to put a kink and tell him what he could or could not. I say, just obey the Lord right back and let it rip. See, stay in the book. Stay in the book. That old man that was here the other night, and I say that respectfully because, you know, I'm an old man, and I know I think he's a little older than I am. I like it whenever I was going to talk about what he said about his wife. Tell the truth now, brother. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it ought to be? Listen, we ought to be able, whatever somebody we say about somebody, we ought to be able to tell the truth about it. And that ought to be kind and complimentary, and it ought to be a good thing, you see. That's true, isn't it? I want to say in closing that, if you will, that here's a man that was busy daydreaming. And let me tell you what would happen is, he's not going to listen to Jesus while he's daydreaming because he don't have a clue what the word of the Lord had to say. Here's what I noticed. He's sitting there waiting. What did Jesus say? I don't know. I've just been waiting for my turn. I want to ask him something. I want to say that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to realize and know his response in his life is going to deal with the home. You know what's wrong with the average home? You can't stand it. That's why you got to always be with somebody, going somewhere, doing some kind of thing. You can't even enjoy setting down what you've labored for and having the peace and the provision and the contentment of a godly home. See? And all that right there. You know, when you've got as many kids and grandkids and now great-grandkids as we've got, is that they finally learn about when nap time is. Now, Brother Nolan doesn't know when it is. He'll call me at 2:30. Was you asleep? Well, if I was, it's too late now. I know you couldn't take some of the heat that he does, but you and I, if we're as good of friends as we are, you could. And here's the explanation. I'm sorry, preacher, I got to thinking as it went to ringing that you might be going to take a nap, but I was wanting to call you because I'm fixing to take a nap. Huh? You know, every now and again, it just, I'm telling you, you ought to just sit down sometimes and try it. You ever notice all the calluses that you have from playing with your dad blowing phone all the time? You can't even lay it aside long enough to see the sun setting or the sun coming up or a bird that's out there in the yard. Are just enjoying the beautiful day that God hath made and to be able to rejoice. Now, I'm not against going, and I'm not against doing some things and this and that and all. I'm just saying we live in a world of muss and fuss and running to and fro. Listen, we can't even sit down and enjoy our own spouse at our own house. See? Now, it's real quiet. I appreciate both amens, and God bless all of you. But I'm just trying to tell you, that's it. Ain't no wonder people are having heart attacks right and left. And that ain't, I ain't saying that because of Brother Rocky being gone all the time, because they are. If you're married to Kim, you're going to be on the road. We went one time to Bass Pro. This has been, I don't know, a couple, three years back and all that. Went to Bass Pro. And in fact, we was looking for a crossbow back then and went to Bass Pro. Now, they didn't have it. Ain't had nothing we wanted. I said, all right, y'all want to go to Waco? We drove from Bass Pro over in Bossier, drove all the way to Waco. Got all the way over there to Waco, didn't buy nothing there either, turned right around, came on back in. And, of course, you know, it's beginning to get late, and it's getting pretty close to where that the, what do they call that, where you turn into the pumpkin. Anyhow, it's getting close to the pumpkin turning hour. And we pulled in there at that little old station. And Kim, I remember her saying, well, you can't wait till tomorrow to be able to get that. Why? He said, why? You in a hurry? I mean, we done drove all over the world. You in a hurry or something? I'm not talking about those kind of things. They'll slip up on you every now and again. But wouldn't it just be good that if you and I could go home tonight and could pillow our head and just thank God for how good God has been to me? If you go to bed like that, when you wake up, it'll put a different outlook on your life. But somebody walks up and you've got God in your heart, they walk up and say, hey, you know what somebody said about you? Don't really care. I know I've got the peace of God in my heart that passes with all understanding. What'd they say? No. I wonder tonight, as you and I are looking at this man, I don't know about you, but if I learned anything for myself with it, I don't want to get to where that I'm so unattentive when the word of the Lord's being taught or preached or songs about him being sung. I don't get to the place to where that I missed the message entirely so I can make a carnal request unto God. See? I hope that'll be a blessing to you as much as it has been unto me. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. I praise you and thank you now for my wife, for my family, church family. these boys and girls, it thrills my soul to look at what the Lord hath done. I pray you continue to move upon them and within them. May you build a hedge about them. May you lead us and guide us and direct us in the truth. Thy word is the truth. And we'll say thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name.